Fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through His servant. Be blessed.
Okay, you're welcome this morning to the morning dew service. And we trust God for grace as we begin a new budding of the Spirit. Like is our custom in the morning dew service, we look at, from time to time, as the Spirit of God grants us liberty and permission. And, you know, and the Lord has been doing that because of the wisdom for building. The morning dew service is dedicated to teaching the fundamentals of the faith from time to time, to be able to strengthen those that are maturing, and also to also help those that are being integrated into the house freshly, so that they are properly grounded in the wisdom of growing up with the doctrines of the kingdom. Can we say amen? So it's important that from time to time, as the Spirit of God will inspire, that we look at certain fundamentals of the faith and make sure that we are grounded. Like I said this year when we began this year, the burden in the heart of the Lord for us, not just for this year and beyond, is to be established. Can we say amen? The Lord wants us as a people to be rooted and grounded, to be established, to bear fruits. And we are looking at that holistically from every point of view, from every angle of the faith, from also every biblical subject that are relevant to our growth as believers. Okay, so this morning we'll be looking at prayer again from another, I thank the prayer school, from another perspective. Every year I teach on prayer. I taught prayer last year, I taught prayer the year before, and I'll keep doing it year after as the Spirit of God grants grace. The burden concerning prayer is very wide, okay? And we're going to be considering another angle. I think I was trying to tell my wife yesterday that one of the things we need to also understand, there's a lot of labor within the this walk, this world of righteousness. There's still a lot of labor. There are a lot of frontiers that still need to be covered. Because as light increases, understanding of prayer must increase. Can we say amen? Amen. It would be a costly assumption to think that people already know how to pray sufficiently as they ought to. There's a scripture like that in Romans chapter 8. It says, we do not know how to pray as we ought to. So, prayer must be taught season after season as God brings light. Okay? Then again, normally, you cannot even use your understanding of prayer taught within the dispensation of the milk of the word to now begin to pray as light increases. Okay? So, thank God for our fathers of faith that wrote books on prayer. We need them. We appreciate them. It is part of us. However, the understanding of prayer is progressive. Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. What did I say? Like the understanding of faith is progressive. Like the understanding of love is progressive. Like the understanding of holiness is progressive. Like the understanding of righteousness is progressive. Like the understanding of prosperity is progressive and healing. All these things, they are progressive. We are coming into holistic understanding of truth. So we have to regularly, as light increases, revisit prayer. And that's why I'm beginning this series myself, because there's so much work of apostolic work here that we have to begin to labor again and begin to bring light and understanding. So, like I said, the burden is in this series of teaching on prayer is generating power through effective praying. Can we all say generating power? I began to look at the whole subject of why things remain unchanged. People don't eventually change personally or even circumstances. At times, circumstances will remain unchanged. People remain unchanged because prayer is not effective. And if prayer is not effective, sufficient power will not be generated. And if sufficient power will not be generated, things will not work. Just like when there's low current, you can't power your appliances on low current. Your freezer will not work. Your TV might not work. But there is power, but it's not sufficient. So power must be generated in sufficient measure. Can we say sufficient measure? I can't hear you say that. Power must be generated in sufficient measure to see that the will of God is accomplished and the purpose of God find expression in us and also in our circumstances and environment. So let's see James, the body, the text scripture is from the epistle of James chapter 5. We can read from verse 13. We'll read down to verse 18. Okay? James chapter 5 from verse 13. We'll read down to verse 18. It says, is any among you afflicted? Now, this affliction here is oppression, assault from evil spirits. Let him pray. So you can see. Of course, you need to, for you to be able to pray, it means you need judgment to know how you should pray. Let him pray when you're afflicted. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray what? Over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And the prayer of faith. Okay, I want us to note that because we are going to visit that. You can pray and it's not done in faith. So the Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Okay? And the Lord will raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Next verse. Confess your faults one to another. Amen? And pray for one another. So you can see, prayer is always in the context of what? Love and forgiveness. So I'll be touching that also progressively in this teaching because you cannot remove the subject of love and faith from prayer. Can we say amen? So you can say, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So this healing is not the healing of the body, it's healing of the soul. So prayer that heals the soul is attached to forgiveness. Okay? Forgiveness. Confessing your faults, then you receive grace, sufficient power will be released for healing. Okay? For healing. Now, he now went further to say the effectual fervent prayer of what? Of a righteous man availeth much. Some translation says makes power available. Give me an amplified version for verse 16. Amplified version of verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt, persistent prayer of what? A righteous man can what? Accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is what? Dynamic and can have what? Tremendous power. So I'm interested in the dynamism or power available through prayer. Now look at verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Now let's look at it from let's read Amplified down to verse 18. Okay, from verse 17 Amplified. So Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Okay, with same physical, mental, spiritual limitations and shortcomings. Now, what they are saying is that there is no condition that should absolve a believer from praying. Okay, it's possible you see Elijah as a superhero. And so that's why he can pray. So, he was subject to the same things we are subject to. Okay, subjected to economic pressure. By the time Elias was praying, there was famine. Okay, subjected to pressure physically on your body, assaults of wicked spirits. Okay? So there are all kind of conditions that limit people from praying. You know, today, interfacing with many believers, I see a lot of believers have excuses sufficient not to pray. Okay? So that is why we have many believers that are not walking in sufficient power. Can we say amen? Because there's nothing, the prayer of your leaders cannot replace a powerful prayer expression coming from your life. Once there is no sufficient power that you are generating, there is nothing that will happen. It means that the power to change even things in you will be given to a lot of variableness. So, and he prayed intensely for it not to rain, and it did not rain for on the earth for 3 months. for 3 years and 6 months. So imagine the kind of power that was generated through prayer. For him to stop prayer for 3.5 years. Okay? Then he prayed again. So, you know, James was trying to show us the power of prayer. He prayed, there was no rain. Okay? So for you to say maybe it was God that moved and it was not Elijah's prayer that caused rain to come. Then James now said he prayed again. He prayed that there not be rain. Then he prayed again that it should rain. So it means that everything that happened was because of the measure of power that was released through effective praying that Elijah prayed. So then he prayed again and the sky gave rain. And the land produces crops as usual. Can we say amen? So can we say prayer changes circumstances? Come on, let's say that again. I need you to be very active with me. Can we say prayer changes circumstances? Say prayer changes things. Say prayer changes me. So if I'm not praying, I will not experience change. Because for me to change, I need tremendous power. Dynamic working consistently for me to be able to experience change internally. Then from inside, I can demonstrate the flow of life and power in my circumstances and in my environment. Can we say amen to that? So again, I just want to say this to reestablish us or remind us, because I did a series on prayer also last year, that we must establish again that to be effective in prayer from a biblical New Testament point of view, we must say and remind ourselves that prayer must be taught. Can we say amen? That is one thing that I've heard a whole lot of philosophy of prayer, and I thank God for many ministers there. Thank God for what they labor. But you see, the Bible still defines our highest expression of accuracy. Okay? And then I understand that we have a slight detour in this generation. At times, we are not supposed to take words of men that are not in alignment with Scripture, no matter how much we love them. If you love me and what I'm saying is not accurate with Scripture, you understand? That is not love anymore. Because Jesus is the standard. Truth is the standard. Can we say amen? Amen? And the scriptures must be well expounded to give a clear point of view of God's mind. Prayer must be taught. We saw that explicit in scripture. Can we see Luke 11? Just to remind you that we see that both Jesus and John taught prayer. Okay? Both Jesus and John taught prayer. It says, always says, I want to catch the spirit of prayer. You know, we use some terminologies that they are not really scripturally sound. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot get impartations in the spirit, but prayer in itself, it comes with understanding being communicated. And at times, some of the things we call prayer are not really praying. They look like praying. I mean, when you see somebody sweating and is in agonization, the general view is that the person is praying. Or, sure you understand? But in the realm of the spirit, he may not be generating no power. So the prayer must be generating something. It's like generator working and there's no release of power. Have you seen your generator like that? Yes. A generator can be working, but it's not generating power at all. There's something wrong. Okay, so we need to remind ourselves that prayer must be taught. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Can we say amen? Amen. As John taught his disciples. So we see that for every dispensation of light, there was a teaching on prayer. For every dispensation of light, there was a teaching on prayer. John taught his disciples prayer. Jesus also had to teach prayer. So, of course, we didn't know what John taught them, but we saw the prayer format that Jesus taught his disciples. I did a teaching on that last year. Please, you need to visit that teaching, the one I did last 2 years on understanding prayer. I don't know what we termed it, but I taught, teach us to pray. So you need to get that series. Okay? So like I said, and I want to say, so the word teaching itself, When you say teach, teach. From the word teach, it means the Greek word for teaching is called didasko. And it means to hold a discourse with others in order to instruct them. To hold a discourse with others in order to instruct them. So you must teach, you must instruct people on how to pray. Okay? And we pick a lot of traditional realities concerning prayer. We grew up in families that prayed. We grew up in an environment of prayer. Okay? And then we have all kind of things. I'm not saying this in a sarcastic manner. I'm saying this because we have a quest for accuracy. A lot of people learn prayer by shaking head because they grew up in an environment when people shake head. And to them, shaking head and shaking body is praying. Believe me, if you ask and they tell you they are praying. You know, I've gone to their place and said, let's begin to pray. Everybody started shaking their head. So it is, we pick prayer. It's possible that we just pick prayer patterns based on our environment, what we saw. Okay, maybe your first pastor, there's a way he prayed. And then you started praying that way. Shall you get what I'm talking about? Aha. So, but that is not sufficient enough. Like I said, understanding is the foundation for prayer. Effective prayer. Can we all say that? Well, let's say that again. So when there is no understanding, prayer will not be done according to God's will. Okay? So Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Like I said, teaching means to instruct. It means, that word didasko also means to explain or expound the thing. So I said, don't teach about prayer. Just pray, pray. Do you know what to do? Huh? You just pray. Let us begin to pray. Let us begin to pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let us begin to pray. Ya, ga, 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 ga. Jojo, go, 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 go. At times, sometimes we even think that praying with tongues is also praying. So we have to visit all that. That's why when I talked about my last series on prayer, I talked about types of prayer. And I put tongues. At times, some people think that praying with tongues replaces praying with understanding. Totally. So they don't even bother praying in understanding. And the reason why you don't pray in understanding is that you don't even know how to articulate words. You pray like the Gentiles pray, repeating, using vain words, vain words or vain reputations means idle words that are empty, words without understanding. So it means that there is also, God expects us to, there has to be a proper prayer construct. Amen. When you're approaching God, I'm not hearing your amen. Well, I say, just pray near God will accept it. It's the heart that matters. God is a good God. Yes, He sees your heart. But as you grow, you need to be able to present your strong points. Part of the presentation of your strong points is to understand the proper construct of approaching a God. You don't just talk anyhow. At times we even use names of God that we don't know anything about. You are Jehovah Shekinah, you are Jehovah Rapha, you are Jehovah El Shaddai, you are Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean to you? So there is no power in prayer without understanding. And God is a being. Prayer is a means of communicating with God that is a being. And prayer is so central to the life of a Christian. You can do nothing without praying. So imagine something that is so vital in your life and you don't know how to do it well. Something that is so central to your existence as a believer. And you don't know how to do it well. And you are not learning how to improve on it. People improve on all kinds of things. People take courses and improve on their career. People take courses to improve on every area of their lives. But people don't take the increase in understanding concerning a very central expression of their faith, of which if they don't do well, they will suffer for it. If you don't pray well, you cannot get sufficient power to be available to change things in your life and in your circumstances. Can we say amen to that? So prayer effectiveness must be taught, okay? And prayer must be taught to come into the flow of power and life, okay? So you want to flow in the life of the Spirit. You want to flow regularly in the power of the Spirit. We need to reteach prayer again. So let's look at Matthew 6 again. Jesus taught how not to pray before he taught how to pray. And like we learned that from Hagin, that at times Egan will teach what faith is not. Okay? It's not. It's just a wisdom what faith is not before he teaches faith. So at times we need to teach what prayer is not. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me? At times we need to teach what prayer is not for us to teach what prayer is. So look at what Jesus prayed. He says, Matthew 6 verse 5, he says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be what? As the hypocrites. I've taught you this word is from those that stage play. Prayer is not a stage play. Amen. Sorry, I might be touching things that are currently happening in the body, and I'm not doing that to attack anybody. I'm doing that because I just, my sight examples, not calling anybody's names. Prayer is not a stage play. Prayer is not demonstrating something physically and then, you know, it's not that. I don't know. I'm bothered. I'm really bothered. There's a time I saw a clip online. I was bothered. I saw young people. They were almost like zombies. And the idea is that they are praying. And I looked at that. I could see that it was a wrong spirit being imparted. It was a wrong spirit. I can say that categorically. And so that's why Jesus taught how not to pray. He says, do not pray like the hypocrites. Those are people that stage play. Prayer is not a stage play. For they love to pray. Look at that word, love to pray. So you can't love to pray and still be praying amiss. It's not sufficient. No, prayer is a means to an end. Okay? So you can love to pray for the wrong motive. That's very powerful. I want to say that again. Now, I'm not saying you should not pray. I'm saying that you should pray for the right reasons, motivated with the right context of understanding. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. That's why Jesus called them hypocrites. Because they are hypocrites, are actors. Hypocrites is theater. You understand? Stage play prayer. In fact, I think that you should even talk less about your personal prayer publicly. Prayer is a thing of the secret place. Prayer is an attitude of the secret place. Can we all say amen to that? So you can love praying, but it's motivated wrongly. You want to be seen by men, or you want to stage play prayer, like we know how to pray. Okay, and that all those things don't move anything in the realm of the spirit. And additionally, praying, one of the things Jesus also taught is praying with vain repetitions as Gentiles. Look at that. So Gentiles are the ones that pray. And you know, these things entered into Christendom. We use vain repetitions. What are vain repetitions? Give me another translation. Give me an amplified for this. You know, the thing about Gentiles is that Gentiles pray, but Gentiles have darkened understanding. According to Ephesians 4 verse 17. So it means if you have darkened understanding, you cannot pray effectively. Okay? So, and then you will use vain repetitions. Look at what Jesus said. When you pray, do not use meaningless repetition. Look at meaningless. Repetition as the Gentiles do. For they think they will be heard because of what? Their many words. It's almost as if Jesus saw all of mankind. So I know this. I don't just want to mention different kind of movements, but I know this thing very well. Experientially, I grew up with this. We think that by many words. But those words, they are empty in itself. When they say something is meaningless, it means it has no understanding. It is meaningless. At times we even think that when we call certain names many times, power will be released. No, we know all these things are in our culture. And they have framed some of us in our understanding. So even some of us, you can be in word of righteousness, you still pray from the way you grew up. Oh, you are not saying, you are here, but you are still praying. That pattern of prayer has not been expired in your soul. You still pray with that format. We have to upgrade you. Come and say amen. I can't hear your amen. So when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition. What? As the Gentiles. Gentiles do not have understanding. Their understanding is darkened. They can't generate spiritual understanding sufficient for them to pray. So they use vain repetition. They use meaningless words. Can you give me another translation? The world is full of so-called prayer warriors, okay? And what? Who are prayer ignorant. So you can be a prayer warrior and you are what? Prayer ignorant. Thank you. Is that all? Thank you. They are full of formulas and programs. And advice. Peddling techniques to get what you want from God. That's very powerful. So you can see. So you need to understand this thing so that we can make progress. So we don't pray as the Gentiles do. That's why the first thing that must be done to a believer is to grant the believer access into understanding. Because that's what changes you from a Gentile. Okay? You have sufficient understanding. That word vain repetition is from the Greek word called batoligio. And it means to repeat the same things over and over. Or to use idle words or words without understanding. Empty words. Okay? And we do it over and over, over and over again. Amen. I don't want to say something so that I will not get you annoyed. But it's all over the body. All over the body. Okay? It's all over. So empty words without understanding. So for me to introduce into prayer, I must also invest in understanding so that you can approach God. God is a person. He's not a machine. Some of us, our idea of prayer is like in my own time, maybe many of you didn't grow up with a cassette. It's like your prayer is already recorded. So you just play cassette and you are sleeping. You are sleeping and the cassette is just saying, Baba, you are Jehovah Jireh, you are Jehovah Ekenu. So some of us, even our prayer construct is the same every day. It's like we cram prayer. Jehovah Shekenu, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shekenu, Jehovah Rapha. Next day, Jehovah Shekenu, Jehovah Rapha. Upper day, Jehovah Shekenu, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah God, Jehovah Baba. All kind of things. It's like a recording. Prayer is more of a recording. It's like you are talking to, you don't want to talk to God, so you don't record the prayer. So every morning, just slot in your cassette. You think you'll be talking. But God is a person. Can we all say amen? God is a person, and you need to understand the protocols of that person and to pray and communicate to him effectively. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Then some of us that feel we don't want to pray, we see prayer as burdensome. It means you don't have understanding enough. That makes you think you can afford not to pray. I'm telling you. Of course, there are forces against you from praying. You need to know that. There are forces in the air that will attack you from praying. Believe me. Spirits in the air, one of the things that assault people from is praying. It's either they stop you from praying or stop you from praying well. It's still the same thing. Okay? So it's a lot of warfare. So to pray, you will go through. It's praying accurately is spiritual warfare. You need to know that. Praying accurately is spiritual warfare. I know that some of us, when we come to Tuesday prayer meeting, some of us struggle to pray. It's like some of the pastors are whining you to pray. And I told them, I said, and that's one of the reasons I'm taking this teaching. And it's because people are not praying well in their individually. It is what you generate individually that you bring into the corporate house. And some people are surviving on corporate prayer. That means that they don't pray except when people are praying around them. And that is not good enough. That is not good. It means that in your own personal life, you'll not be able to generate power. So that is the reason why a lot of people don't grow well. And you can be in an environment where the word is taught, and you are not growing well because you are not generating enough spiritual power or not spiritual momentum for your growth. So there is nothing that can replace your own personal input and investment of prayer. Nothing. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, so I've told you two things. I don't want to go into this because I've done a series on that. You can get that in Teach Us to Pray. So teaching is impartation of understanding to be effective. Okay, what is it, teaching? Teaching prayer is to teach and give understanding, impart understanding so that you are effective in prayer. And that's why we are doing this teaching, okay? Also additionally, prayer is a currency of transaction in the kingdom of God. Prayer is a currency of transaction in the kingdom of God. God will not establish his kingdom and his will on earth without prayer. God will not establish his kingdom on and his will in earth without prayer. God will not establish his kingdom and his will in your life and in the circumstances of your life without prayer. So God will not establish his kingdom in your life or his will in your life and in the circumstances of your life and also in the circumstances of things in the earth and in your environment without prayer. So look at Psalm 115, Psalm 115 verse 6, then Matthew 6 verse 9, those two scriptures, is 16. Thank you. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth, as it what? Given to what? The children of men. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So the earth has it given to the children of men. Now look at Matthew 6 verse 9. Matthew 6 verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? As it is in heaven. So we have to pray his will to be done on earth. If not, it may not be done. In fact, it will not be done. Much, that's why I say prayer is a currency, is a currency for transaction in the kingdom. If we don't pray his will to come to pass, his will not come to pass. The heavens is the Lord, the earth has he given to the sons of men. Okay, so it means that things that will be done on earth is tied to prayer. Things that will be done, things that are even established in heaven, even concerning you and your family, if you don't pray them, they may not come to reality, to future in the earth. So the heavens belongs to the Lord. The earth has he given the children of man. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. Okay? So I want you to understand the role of the church in praying. And making things that God has established in the heavens to become established where? On earth. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And when we say on earth, it is first your own earth, your own human life, your own circumstance, your soul, your spirit, your soul, your body, your mind, your will, your emotions. The kingdom of God must be established there. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So the intervention of God's kingdom on earth and in the life of men is against your position of the enemy and spirits in the air. The reason why, one of the reasons why we must pray, listen to this, is that the kingdom of God being established on earth is going to go through opposition. Because between the heavens of God and the earth, there's the heavens of wicked spirits. I don't know if you know that evil spirits, I've taught you that in OM, Living Under Open Heavens last year. Evil spirits they block prayers. They interfere with prayers. Okay? So, and you need to understand that they block prayers. There's something like that. There's warfare in the heavenlies concerning the program of God's will on earth. There's warfare in the heavenlies concerning the program of God's will in your own personal life and in your family. There's warfare over your children. God can have set things over them and you have to pray for those things to come to pass because they are evil spirits that don't want it to come to pass. So when you don't pray, those things may not come to pass and it's not God's fault. Prophecies can go ahead and it will not come to pass. Because you war with prophecy in prayer. You war with prophecy in prayer. Things God has said concerning you may not happen, not because God has not said it, but it has not been enforced in the place of prayer. Or established in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? So there's opposition of the enemy and evil spirits in the air. And also, we also have opposition in us by the laws of sin and death. Like mommy was teaching on during the marriage on Friday, the enemy of a man are the members of his household. Your members, flesh inside you, is an opposition. So you need power to overcome flesh. You need to pray in accordance with the will of God to be able to overcome the enemies within and the enemies without. So that the will of God is prosperous in and through you. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen. Now, because of this, what I've just said now, because of this, we need sufficient power to be released to accomplish the will of God. Amen. You didn't get that. What did I say we need to what? So, because if sufficient power is not released, it will affect the prosperity of God's will. So, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes power what? Available or availeth much. Availeth much means it makes power available. If it's not effective, there will not be enough power. So, you need enough power. You need enough power to be generated to be able to deal with issues in your own personal life. And issues in your own circumstances. If not, so at times we release power, but some of us, our power is low current. I'm telling you, it's low current. You can't deal with anything. You can't move anything. Because, one of the things I hate, when I was growing up, was low current. I hated it. I prefer that there's no light. It is very frustrating because you can do nothing with it. You can't do nothing reasonable with it. So look at it. You know that kind of frustration you face when there's low current is the kind of frustration you face when you have low power. As a Christian, you face frustration. You can't do anything. You can't accomplish anything. It's very frustrating. You have a semblance of life, but there's no life. You have knowledge, but there's no power. There's no sufficient life. Nothing is changing. You know the most frustrating thing that can be in an environment like this where there is knowledge is that people are not changing. They have knowledge of what to do, but they are not doing anything. One of the reasons is that prayer is not generating enough what? Power. And there is no movement that can survive without prayer. There is no movement that can survive without praying well. There is no movement that can survive without praying well. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, you are not talking to me. Can we say amen? Amen. Oh, glory to God. So it is sufficient. So let me say that first, generating power is first a product of strength, stature, and understanding, not duration. I'll tell you where prayer duration comes in. Okay? First, generating power is a product of strength, stature, and understanding. In fact, it's a product of understanding that produces strength that grows your stature. I found out that the more grown you are, the more your heavens are open. So when you see this, I may not need so much prayer to release a certain measure of power because I have used prayer is part of my formation in growth. So when the Bible says Jesus was growing in Luke chapter 4, verse 40, Jesus was, there's no way you can grow without prayer. Some of us don't know. We just think that you can minus prayer and you will grow. You are joking. And the child grew and waxed strong, what? In spirit. You can't wax strong without prayer. Filled with wisdom. And the grace of God, what? Was upon him. Verse 52, and Jesus increased. You can't increase in wisdom and stature without praying. And he was at favor with God and man. That favor is grace. Now look at it. The Lord was telling me that, you know, I've heard a kind of philosophy of prayer say, you have to pray for many hours to open the heavens. I say, it's all those things. It's not just that they are formulas, Pastor. They are because of unsophistication in understanding. Now, the thing is that you don't have that luxury of time to be praying for 10 hours every day. Even Jesus did not do it in his life and ministry. I can prove that to you. Just did not do it. Just had work to do during the day. So if you pray 15 hours every day, what will you be doing? Are you a monk? So I want to teach you how to pray. Jesus did not even do that. Now, occasionally, he may have done that. But in the life and ministry of Jesus, we didn't see that as a pattern. Even when Jesus was growing up, I'm sure he didn't do it. Because he was a carpenter. He had other things to do. So the reason is because if you have to pray many hours to plug into the Spirit, it means that you are using manual technology. It's just like generator that you are. You are using so much manual technology. There are better ways. That when you talk, you have access immediately. You can't have time to be whining and whining and whining and whining before you enter into prayer. You need understanding sufficient. It's understanding you need, and you have access immediately. The problem is when you are walking in the flesh, when you are walking in sin and disobedience, you have problem. Yeah, you still fought yesterday with your husband. You can't pray. And stop, don't bother to pray. And my wife knows, when there's a quarrel, I don't do anything spiritual, I settle it. It's a waste of time. Eh? How do you have access? Because I know that access is easy. Access is not hard. If you are walking in love, you will not have problem with access. If you have understanding, you will not have problem with access. I say, I need to pray first. So you pray first 2 hours. And you are sweating. Grow. It's not as hard as that. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen. So that's why I said that the first, when you say generating power, it's a product of what? Understanding. If you're a man of understanding, you know that you have to walk in love and forgive people. You have to walk in love and forbearance. Can we say amen? Because you need to keep open heavens. You know, walking in strife can shut your heavens. And at times you don't understand that if Satan knows that you want to walk in consistent open heavens, he will bring people that we want to around you that want to shut, frustrate you so that your heavens will be shut. So you need to be wise. You need to be wise. You need to be skilled more than Satan. At times Satan can use your brother that is weak to frustrate you so that you get angry and you will sin. You need to be wise. Can we say amen? Amen? The problem is not your brother. Your brother is just weak. The problem, the real problem is this, is Satan. Is the one, there are wicked spirits that they are around us. They create all those circumstances so that we are not always living under open heavens consistently. Hallelujah. Amen. So I've told you that. So the first thing that you need to understand. So duration is only important if the strength and power and life is available and consistent. That's when duration is applicable. And it's originated from spiritual understanding in the sacred place. So there are times that God... if I pray for 3 hours, it means that it must be full of power and life. That's the only reason. Okay? So there are also prayer for, there's a place for prayer stretch. But prayer stretch is not without what? Understanding. Can we say amen? Neither is it without, you know, generating sufficient power. Hallelujah. Okay, amen. You know, so the strength of your understanding is a product of your secret place. Write that down. The strength of your understanding is a product of your secret place. The secret place describes the place of knowing God. Knowing Christ and knowing God. Knowing Christ and the Father. So the strength of your prayer is a product of your secret place. That's why I've taught you before, and I want to say it again, that communion prayer is the foundation of all prayer. Communion prayer is the foundation of all prayer. And communion is a product of understanding. Our Father. God is a person. That was the first statement in prayer. Our Father. Okay? God is a person. And you can only approach God with your understanding. Of the essence of his being. So communion is the foundation of prayer. It's not even intercession. How can you intercede on behalf of a being that you don't know? Because intercession is standing in the gap for someone else. So can I pray for someone? I'm praying for... I'm standing in the gap for someone else and I don't know. So an intercessor is a knower of God. Today people talk intercession prayer without understanding or knowing God. I don't understand what we are doing, honestly. It's not by, an intercessor is not known by the ability to pray for days. What's the strength of an intercessor is that he knows God and he knows his way. The people that were intercessors in Bible, they were friends of God. Abraham was an intercessor. We saw him interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. Adam was a prophet. He knew God. So he could talk on behalf of God. He could speak to God on behalf of someone. Say, God, please, show mercy on these people. Because he knew God and he knew God's ways. That's what being an intercessor. Same thing with Moses. Moses knew God. And he could stand in the gap between God and the nation of Israel. Same thing with Daniel. Daniel knew God. He could stand between God and Israel and the nations of the earth. Daniel was called beloved. He was a lover. Same thing with Samuel. Samuel knew God. He was a priest. The Bible, God, if I said, and no word that Samuel speaks will fall to the ground. God will say, I will defend the word of Samuel. Samuel knew God. From young age, he was hearing God. He knew God's ways. So intercession without communion is not intercession. You cannot intercede if you don't know God. So you can see the foundation is still understanding and knowing of God. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Are we together? So let's make progress. So there are two aspects of effective praying. Let's look at it. Two aspects of effective praying. Number one, the lawful or legal aspect of praying. The lawful or legal aspect of praying. Then number two, the power generation aspect of praying. Two aspects of prayer. The lawful and legal aspect of prayer. That's the first aspect of prayer. And the second aspect of prayer is the power generation aspect. Okay? Can we say amen? Amen? Now, the legal aspect of prayer is prayer done according to the word. Prayer done according to the word. Because God only watches over his word to perform it, not just what we pray. The interest in God in your prayer is his will. Okay? Now let's look at three scriptures just to defend this. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. Okay? So your prayer must be legal for you to be able to access God. You can't pray emotionally. God is a spirit. Okay? To be able to get attention from God, you must do prayer lawfully, legally. You must do prayer constitutionally. It must be according to the constitution. That's another word for legal. You must pray within the boundaries of the constitution provided for us in the New Testament. If you go outside it, you'll not get answers. Are you with me? Amen. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? His will. It's not ask anything. Sometimes what we normally think this scripture is this is the covenant we have with him. If we ask anything, he heareth us. That's not what he said. Look at that scripture very well. He didn't say if you ask anything, he heareth us. God is not committed to hearing some of your prayers. You cannot control God to hear your prayer. Prayer must be done according to his will. Can we all say that? Come on, say that again. Now, meaning prayer must be done according to his word. Because the word, investing time to knowing his word, is knowing his will. So you can't pray effectively without word. I keep saying that foundationally. You can't pray without word. We have many, many cultural prayers that are not word-based. We have big churches in Nigeria, movements, that their prayer points are not, they are empty. No word inside. You are praying for the ground to open to swallow your enemies. Where do you have that ground? Where is the basis for that kind of prayer? New Testament. So you can see that you can pray. So, amen. So a whole movement can grow. A whole movement can grow big. Without understanding of the word. So as far as I'm concerned, there is no prayer movement without word. They say we are prayer people. You are word people, we are prayer people. You don't know what you are saying. You can never separate the word from prayer. If you want to know people that pray well, they are people of the word. If you want to know people that knows the word well, they are people of prayer. There is an endless loop between the word and prayer. Amen. Because I think that some people only present themselves as prayer people. It's because they are showing prayer as an act. Prayer is not... You understand? They are showing prayer as an act. That we can pray. No. That you do prayer programs does not mean that you can pray. Can we say amen? The ministry of the New Testament. That's why Hagin thought that there is no prayer ministry. It's because all the fivefold, there should be into word and prayer. Everybody should be into word and prayer. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody is saying amen with me. Amen. So it is when you pray according to his will that he heareth you. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we have desired of him. So let's go another scripture, Jeremiah 1 verse 12. I'm looking, so God only watches over his word to perform. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well. It's a long scripture. For I will hasten my word, what? To perform it. I will hasten my word to perform it. So it means that what God performs is his word. Or what God performs is his will. Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that should lie. Neither is he a son of man that he should repent. As he said it, he will do it. If it's his word, he will do it. If it's his will, he will do it. So before you pray, know his will. If you take time to meditate on his will before you pray, even if it's 1 hour, you take 10 minutes out of that 1 hour to discover the will, settle in your heart what the will of God is. The next 50 minutes will be fruitful 50 minutes of prayer. It will not just be emotional prayer. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is son of man that he should repent. As he said it, and shall he not do it? As he spoken, and shall he not make it what? Good. So that's the nature of God. What God accomplishes is his will. It's his will. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. So the legality of prayer or the lawfulness of prayer is established when we pray in accordance to his word, in accordance to his will, and in accordance to his kingdom. Okay? Can we say amen? Amen. I think that is so you understand the legal aspect of prayer. So prayer has that legal framework. When you're approaching God, know that it's his will. So anytime you want to pray concerning a matter, get the will of God concerning that matter. You want to pray for your wife. What has God said concerning a wife? Go check scripture. Meditate on it. And then pray according. What has God said concerning your children? Go into scripture and pray accordingly. What has God said concerning your business? The fact that your business is going through opposition does not mean you should close shop. Can we say amen? If it's a business ordained by the will of God, you will go through spiritual warfare for your business. If there's a prophetic will of God for your business, Satan will fight that business. It will contend against the plan of God for that business. So you must get a word of God for that business and pray it till you see it come to pass. So it means that we should run every area of our life on the program of God's will. We run every area of our life on the program of God's word. Are you with me? Can we say amen? Amen? So let's look at the power generation aspect of prayer. Okay? We have looked at the legal aspect. Let's look at the power generation aspect of prayer. This is the releasing of sufficient power to accomplish the will of God. Of course, I've told you that low current will not power your appliances. Like low energy in prayer won't generate formation in your soul or transformation in your soul. So if you are not praying well, your rate of change in your soul will be affected. So you know, at times we always talk about salvation of the soul. Salvation of the soul is not outside prayer. Walking in faith or walking in obedience, you can't walk in obedience without prayer. Ask me why. Satan will put pressure on you to disobey God. Take me to Hebrews 5 verse 7. Why do you think Jesus was praying? You think that Satan will allow you to obey God? You think Satan will allow you to obey doctrine? You are hearing doctrine. Now, okay, Satan has even, so for some people, they don't hear sound doctrine. For some people, even when they hear it, we make sure that they don't do it. So, when they don't do it, one of the areas is that it will stop them from praying. It will make sure that they don't pray. Get them distracted. So we can come from meeting and meeting if we are not praying sufficiently. We will not be getting little results. So we in days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and what? Supplications. Thank God that these things were recorded. With strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him. So what was his prayer about? So can your soul get saved without prayer? Able to save him from death. And he was heard in that what? He feared. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, he prayed. And we understand that after he prayed, God strengthened him by sending an angel to him. So anytime you are weak, it's not when you should stop praying. So I don't even know what is wrong, but I'm weak. So then you now stop praying. Satan wants to kill you. Do you understand? Satan wants to kill you totally because you are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. So when you don't feel like praying, you feel weak to pray, is when you now receive grace to pray. That's not when you now stay up prayer. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've not been praying. And you are like that. Some people don't pray for weeks. I don't know how it's like not taking a bath for a long time. You'll be smelling. Smelling, or they just pray casually. Shabraba, 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 shabraba. Shabraba. It's just very disorderly life. Such a life will be infested by what kind of attack? Very, very uncareful soul. You know, there are some spirits, satanic spirits. They are archers. They just target you. Those ones just shoot anyhow. They don't spray. They look for areas. So at times when you find out that in a season of your life something is happening, a lot of people, you don't know. We carry sickness. All kind of sickness. You are just down. You think you are just down. What is tough? I see a lot. They have set you with a depressive arrow. Some may be slander or some may be gossip. You just found out that for 2 months you are gossiping. All these things are signs of assault by wicked spirit. Some may be lost. They can arrow you with an arrow of lust. And sometimes it may not be one, they can give you 10. I'm telling you, I'm painting the picture of the realm of the spirit to you so that you know what happens. You have 10 arrows of lust. That kind of person is just thinking of sleeping with somebody. He cannot help it. That is when you should confess your faults to your leaders and you receive grace for healing. And not allow the enemy to drain life out of you completely. So every day, you need to be conscious of your access to God, your communication to God, your program of salvation, and prayer is a core aspect of it. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's make progress. Praise God. Okay, of course, I've showed you that Jesus prayed for salvation. Look at Romans 12:12. We know that scripture. Romans 12:12. Okay? So prayer is a fundamental part of fruit bearing. We have a teaching of fruit bearing since January. You can't bear fruit. Part of that process of fruit bearing includes prayer. I'm praying effectively to generate power. So I cannot change if there's no sufficient power being generated for my transformation. So if you, nature that I've been with you for long, and you are hearing doctrine, it must be coupled with prayer. You need prayer to be able to overcome some of those weaknesses. Even before you totally change, when you are praying, you get more alert concerning that thing. So your sense of retraction from that infirmity is faster. Oh, you didn't hear what I said? You are more alert. At times when you are praying, you are alert that something wants to happen. When the enemy wants to ensnare you, maybe you still have weaknesses concerning maybe emotional weaknesses. You understand? When you pray very well, if something wants to happen, you will pick it. And you'll be able to flee appearances of evil. You are wise. Prayer teaching. You know, those kind of wisdom, they get supplied also in the place of prayer. You just pick things in the spirit. Your spirit just picks that. Let me not go here. Let me not go there. Let me not do this. You just pick it in the spirit. But when you don't pray sufficiently, your spirit is not alert. Your spirit is dull. So you don't pick things on alert. You're not alert in the spirit. Amen. Romans 12:12. You need to be alert in the spirit. You need to be sharp in the spirit. I mean, if you know, when you pray, you just get sharp somewhere. It's like you just sharpen yourself in the spirit. You are alert in the spirit. You feel strengthened again. Normally, when you enter prayer, you come out stronger. It is when you pray, you are not praying sufficiently. When your prayer is ineffective, that you pray, you still feel weak. Yes, nobody prays and they are weak. Yes, if they pray well. So it means that you are not praying well. You didn't pray well. That's why you feel weak. Because even if you feel physically tired, when you pray, when you are praying, prayer even supplies life to your physical body. You feel refreshed. You feel rejuvenated. So when you are still tired and tired and tired after praying, or you are sleeping while praying, you know what I'm talking about? You pray and you are snoring. Out of 1 hour prayer, 30 minutes sleep. You understand? Can we say amen? If you are feeling sleepy, the body is tired, stand up. And walk around and pray. At least you cannot be praying and sleeping. Walking and sleeping. You will help yourself. Can we say amen? When you are walking, when you are pacing, your body begins to, you are putting pressure on your body to come alive. Because at times you may be awake, but your body is still sleeping. Maybe your soul is awake. Your spirit is not even sleeping. There are all those things, the body that sleeps. So you are putting your body under by rising up to walk. So that eventually your body catches up. Don't allow the body to rule you. You put your body under. I'm saying this so that you know. So when you don't pray effectively, you don't generate power. If you don't generate power, listen, let me tell you this sad thing. You will remain the same. Your nature will not change because you're not obeying the ethics of change. Part of obeying faith includes prayer. Part of obeying commandments of God includes praying. Prayerlessness is sin. When you're not praying, you are also sinning. You are sinning against your part in the spirit. Hallelujah. Rejoicing in all patience in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. I like the word continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. So you can see it's part of that formula. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Praying with all prayer. Praying in the spirit. Praying always. So you can see it's praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. I've taught you about all prayer. So even praying. So when you say all prayer, it does not mean that the same day you pray all prayer. So for me, what I do is that for a week, I have a prayer button, or what I call a prayer timetable. So there are things I pray for different seasons when I pray. So in my whole week, I have covered what you can say all prayer. I've done intercession. I've done supplication. I've done communion. I've done praying with the Spirit. I've done thanksgiving. I've covered prayer holistically. You need to do You may not do all prayer one day while you are praying. But within a season, within a span of time, occasionally, you have covered all prayer. Okay? You have interceded for your brethren, interceded for your loved ones, interceded for your children. A man must be praying for his wife and his children. Interceded for your pastor, interceded for the nation, interceded for, you know, for the program of salvation for all men. Pray for your own walk with God. Pray, you know, so there are many things to pray about. There's so much to pray about. So when you say all, you have to spread prayer burden through. So let's say 1 week, practically now, talking as a pastor, pray for 1 week. I learned this from Pastor Lubi. I learned a lot from Pastor Lubi Johnson. Pastor Lubi Johnson said, "At this tight your day when it comes to imputing spiritual things." Say, "Ah, yes, it's a tight your day." So minimum you should use for spiritual things is 3 hours. Minimum. Okay? So maybe say you pray. Inside that 3 hours, you pray, you study, you do everything. That's the minimum you should do in a day. 3 hours. Consistently, every day. At least you tight your time. Every day. Because you know, when we look at, if you're trying to fragment a day, let's say you have 6 hours sleep, 6 to 8 hours maximum. You shouldn't be sleeping more than that. You can't use all your life to sleep. It's the truth. We need to tell you this. 6 to 8 hours is okay. 6 to 8 hours. Then if you say you sleep 8 hours, let's say you sleep 6 hours during the day, okay? Some might do less, but let's say maximum. I'm rounding up. Some people can do 5 and they are okay. But 6 to 8 hours maximum. You shouldn't be sleeping 10 hours. What's wrong with you? You want to use all your life to sleep. So between 6 and 8 hours, the remaining hours, you walk. You go to work. And if you are doing a normal 9 to 5 job, that's how many hours? 9 to 5 is how many hours? 8 hours. So out of the 16 hours, you have another 8 hours that has been off. So you have only remaining 8 hours. Every day, 3 hours, you take that off. Now you have 5 hours for other things. You go to the market, you come to church, you do other things, maybe assignments from work. You know, you have a lot of things. So you need to be able to also do management of your time. Because you say there's no time. You have to look for time. Can we say amen? What I advise people to do is to, I prefer you rather do it daily than to do it occasionally. You control it consistently. You make it more of a habit consistently. Then over time, you get more, God cannot create more time for you. Because something that you have not used 1 hour to do, you can't use 10 hours to do it. It's just the truth. Something that you are not used to. So even if you have more time, you won't do it. Am I right? Can we say amen? So you see, praying is involved in your transformative process. What did I say? And what prayer does is to generate life, generate power, sufficient to bring change. So in the Old Testament, men prayed according to the law and the truth in the Old Testament. We see people like Abraham. They prayed according to the dispensation of God's knowledge at that time. In the time of the law, people prayed according to the requirements of the law because the law was a constitution. So they prayed legally. But in the Old Testament, even though people's spirits were dead, people still had some measure of life in their soul that they got by faith, work, and obedience. So they could still generate power. You know, have you ever thought how could Elijah generate power? His spirit was dead. In the Old Testament, the spirit of men were dead. But because they were men that God led them in their soul. So the leading of the spirit, the leading of faith in the soul generates what? Life and power. So they had life. So like Elijah could still generate life and power. Can we say amen? It was not common. Gentile nations were totally dead. They were not even praying to God. They were praying to idols. So, but I'm talking now specifically concerning Jews. So God led them with dead spirits. But because of leading and obedience, their soul still had a measure of what? Life that it generated. So you can see those two things are important. Can we say amen? Praying legally and generating power. Praying according to the constitution, according to the word, according to the template of God's will, and generating power. Can we say amen? So, however, in most times still, God walks sovereignly on the earth outside the prayers of men. I'm going to explain this. So, there are times that God will do things on the earth, not because people prayed or sufficiently prayed. He will move sovereignly. And I said, this is a temporary or makeshift program until the time of the church. So I noticed that if God moves sovereignly on the earth and does things without the praying of men on the earth or the cooperation of things, that thing will not be established as an everlasting ordinance. So there will still be a prayer, there will still be a prayer depth. There will still be a prayer vacuum. There will still be a prayer gap. Hallelujah. So the church is meant to pray the will of God and establish it. So anything that you see that is established, men are prayed. So you can now see why we need to keep praying for the work of word of righteousness to be established as an everlasting ordinance on the earth. They will need our prayers. And they will need our prayers in sufficient measure. It is possible that we pray and the prayer is not full. Full enough for God to act on the earth. Please, I need your response. Can we say amen? Amen. Just like iniquity cup needs to be full for God to judge. In the book of Revelation, there's something called prayer bowls. You see? So, God, at the certain iniquity cup, wait enough for God may not judge a nation. Until the cup of iniquity, they will do wickedness until their cup is full. Then God will act. There are certain things God will not do on the earth yet. Because the prayer allocation and power allocation needed to bring that purpose to pass has not been received by heaven. Can we say amen? Amen. So, what God normally does, that's why at times a whole generation can enjoy prayer that some generation has prayed. Yeah. You enter things that you knew that you did not labor for. Some people prayed it. So, God at times will use our own prayer and the prayer of all those saints and mix it up and move on the earth. So, we see that in the book of Revelation. Give me Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, quickly. Let's see these things in prayer, in Bible. Hallelujah. That's why one major work of the church is to pray for. That's why we do intercessory prayer for church and nations. The church must be praying for all men. God needs... If God will change Nigeria, God needs enough, apart from the obedience of the church, which is normal, because if my people that are called by my name should humble themselves and what? Pray. And turn from what? Their wicked way. So apart from the church obeying the will of God, the church must also pray prayer sufficiently, enough for God to cause an intervention within the sphere of an angel. Say, Pastor, people are praying in Nigeria. People can be praying, but they are not praying well. The church in Nigeria must be taught how to pray. One of the reasons is that we have been giving so much to personal, selfish prayer. All the prayer that is centered around what God cannot do does not exist. Centers around us. It's not around the will and program of God. So there is no way. People are getting miracles of prayer personally. We are not getting miracles of change nation. Because that same, there's no commitment to the program of God. There's no commitment to the program of God. It's people's personal life that's important. And that personal life is not their spiritual growth too. Please don't be angry. I'm not against anybody, please. I'm just saying the truth. We should say that we are prayed and the nation has changed. The government has changed. Things have been influenced in Nigeria. There's more righteousness in the land. So people are getting personal testimonies. And we cannot see testimonies of a changed nation. Changed lives. We don't have testimony of changed lives, transformations. It's because there's something wrong. Can we say amen? So it's the responsibility of the church to pray. What did I say? Oh, you are not talking to me. Oh. Can we say amen? So when we call prayer meeting, come with desire to pray. It's an opportunity to pray. Stop saying it like prayer. I'm not going to Tuesday meeting. Your prayer. You are selecting meeting. Look at it. So I exhort therefore, before I show you Revelations, are you seeing, so there are some moves of God that people in the past, God stirred them up to pray. I heard. So, but even when that generation comes, God will also need their prayer. But God will use their prayer and mix it with the prayer of those that he has stirred up as an ordinance. And then he will now move on the earth. We see that in Revelation 8. That's what happened. God now took prayer and then moved on there. There was thunderings, there was lightning, things happened on the earth. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at that. I exhort therefore that first of all, look at that. This is a local church. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. All men there is all nations. I even want us to upgrade our praying. I don't know. This teaching is not going, we're not just going to teach, it's going to affect our structure of praying also. We should pray for nations. Some of us are even ignorant. We don't know what is happening. Okay, even concerning nations of the earth. We don't even see beyond our personal problem. And so what is happening between Israel and Iran is not your business. You can see, we have a generation below that. So what is happening between you, how things happening on the earth is not our business. We don't even know. We are not even current with global events. I said, you're not just not supposed to know the Bible. You should know your world. Amen. Oh, people are not answering me. You should know your world. You should know what is happening around you. You should understand times and seasons and be able to read what is happening in the nations. You should have understanding of times. And like I said, you can't just know, you must understand times. That's why I'm interested to know things that are happening. You don't know every other time. Even the Bible, you don't know it. You don't even know Bible. Say Bible Nikolunka. But even the Bible said, you can see flaw you on it. That's not good. Okay? So to pray for all men, we need to know what is happening in the nations. This is praying for nations. Praying for the will of God to be done in nations. I don't need to travel to all nations of the earth for me to know that the will of God is for all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. People must pray that sufficiently. The reason, that's why God needs the church to pray. There are certain things that God may not do in a nation because there is not enough prayer to move into that nation. And even if God intervenes sovereignly, Pastor Nelson, there will still be a prayer gap or a prayer debt. For the thing to be an ordinance, people still need to pray. Amen. For all men. Then after we pray for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. We need to pray for kings and all that are in authority. So this is the governmental aspect of prayer. Governmental prayer and governmental intercession. Praying for the will of God to be done within the sphere of God. You know? Because the kingdom of God is political. Political, I'm not talking about political parties. I'm talking about the kingdom of God has influence on human life and human society. That is what I mean as political. The kingdom is political. It's not religious. The kingdom touches human life, human affairs, human circumstances. And that's why when there's a devil that is in, if a devil is the one that is leading you as a nation, it's a problem. You will need a church that has stature to be able to shield the nation from the influence of a wicked king. Because a wicked king can bring wrong influence on a nation. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'm not hearing your amen. Amen. So you can see that. So we have to pray for kings and all that are in authority. That we may lead what? A quiet and peaceable life in what? All godliness and what? Honesty. So you can see, we should be able to influence and determine the course of political expression of over our territory through prayer. Amen. For this is good and acceptable. So it's good and acceptable in the sight of what? God. So I'm showing you. So look at that revelation. Look at Revelation 5 verse 8 and Revelation 8 from verse 1 to 4. So all the sovereign power of God's intervention must now be legitimized and established as his will when believers begin to pray. All the sovereign power of God's intervention must now be legitimized and established as his will when believers begin to pray. So even though God can move sovereign, he wants us to legitimize his will by prayer. That is why we have to pray. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Because you cannot bank on the sovereignty of God. We need the faithfulness of men in prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. You must pray it. As it is in heaven. So it is our praying that what legitimizes and establishes God's will on earth. That's why when we give up on prayer is a major assault on the church. Imagine the church is not praying again. That's a problem. You don't know what prayers are doing. You don't know what prayers have been doing in keeping this nation. You don't know what prayers have been doing. Let the church stop praying. We are in soup in this nation. Let the church stop praying. We are in soup on the earth. So look at that, Revelation 5. Look at that. And when he had taken the book. Okay, before I read Revelation 5, let me read something here. So that's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Okay? Because his will will not be established if the church does not pray on earth. So at times in advance of God's will on earth, there may be a prayer depth or prayer gap or insufficient power in prayer that we will not allow the will of God to be done. Because there's no sufficient, there's a measure of prayer that must have been prayed for the will of God to be established. And even times where things are done sovereignly, we'll find out that they are not established. They are just like things that happen temporarily. There are things that God will do that they may not be established as an ordinance that is everlasting. So if you see any movement of God that has stayed, not just as a religious institution, they are still relevant in the scheme of God. It means that God received some prayers and established it as what? An everlasting ordinance. So men always ought to pray and not to faint. Can we all say that? Oh Lord, you are not talking to me? Can we say amen? Amen? So look at Revelation 5 verse 8 and Revelation 8 from verse 1. So, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. I mean, every one of them arms and golden vials, full of odors. Look at that. And they had golden vials full of what? Odors. Which are what? So where are they? So that means that prayers are stored what? In the vials. Can we say amen? What's another word for vials? Bowls. So we have prayer bowls in heaven. I'm sure, amen. Some of you are just seeing it. I say we have prayer what? Give me a more recent translation of this. There are prayer bowls. God stores prayers. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, Christ, each one holding a harp and golden bowls. I like the word, they are golden bowls. Full of what? Fragrant incense. Which are what? So incense there are stored as prayers. They are prayers. God stores prayers. Why do you think God is storing it? Think about it. When you are storing something, what do you want to do with what you store? Whatever you store. You are storing it because you want it to be full. Because you have to do it. You need it to do something. So you can see, prayer must be full. That's why, like, you have to be prayerful. Full. So there's a measure of prayer. There are certain breakthroughs you not get until you come into the prayerfulness of that prayer. You will be prayerful. Then certain things will break loose. You have to come into the obedience of prayer to a point where you are prayerful. I believe in stand-up prayer. You know, growing up as a teenager, in those days, young boys seeking the Lord passionately, we prayed some prayers ahead. Yes, we prayed some prayers ahead that I began to enjoy. I call them prayer investments. We did some terrible prayer. I remember in those days, young, there's a place we used to call volleyball courts. You know, Gomosho then. In stadium area. I remember some prayers we prayed there as young people. Prayers! God, corner me! You know, all those kind of prayers. Dangerous prayers! Make sure that you use me for your will. Let me not be able to have my will when it comes to your program. We pray some prayers. You know why I know that God stored up those prayers? They were investments. God heard those prayers when I needed it most. When I didn't want to do his will, he remembered the prayer I prayed. I said, may you have prayer as an ordinance. Amen. May you have prayer as an investment. Amen. A memorial before God. God will remember, and he is sober. When I didn't want to do his will, then God remembered that, see, you have told me that I should corner you. That is what I'm doing now. So it's too late. I've heard the prayer. Those are very good things. That it will be too late for Satan. Because God has heard prayer concerning you. Prayer that you have prayed ahead. As a young person. That's why as a young person, don't use your time chasing girls up and down. What is your head is in marriage. What do you want to do? You see, they give you a woman now. Tell me, what do you want to do? What do they do with women? Do you know what they do with women? You have not managed yourself. You want to? Yes, now. You have not managed yourself. It is men they give women to. People that can handle the program of God. People that have, they know what to do with God's will. And as a sister, you want to compliment a guy. As you see yourself, can you support anybody? No, we need to be very sincere. What can you support? If they bring into the life of a man, can you hurt? Can you improve him? So investing in yourself is not a waste of time. That's what you should be doing now. Not disturbing yourself about things. You're just disturbing yourself about wasting time. And time is urgent law. Meaning you have age, but you don't have wisdom. Because wisdom is a principal thing. And wisdom is the stability of the times. It is a man of wisdom that is stable. He knows what he's doing. He's investing his time in right things. Because he knows that by the time the future comes, I'll be ready. You are ready. You think that God is not concerned about your family life. You cannot be as concerned than God is. So you better focus on God. And don't focus on concern. God is more concerned. More than you want to have a home, God wants to make you have a home. God is just concerned about what kind of home. So we need to trust God enough. Can we say amen? Amen. So God starts prayer. We see that now. Take me to Revelation chapter 8 from verse 1. Are you with me?
Yes,
glory to God. Hallelujah. So prayers are stored as prayer bows. And God starts up prayer because God wants prayer to be full. Look at it. And when he had opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven about the space of what? Half an hour. That's 30 minutes. Heavenly time. We don't know because hour there.
We don't know what it means.
It's not 60 seconds. It's by the definition of time. You need to be there for you to know what 1 hour is. So this is half an hour. Maybe it's 10 years like that. They kept silent for 10 years. You don't know what 1 hour is. So don't say 1 hour, half an hour, 30 minutes. It's not your own time. This is heavenly time. So that's when we wait at times. When God pauses you, He's working on His operating on His own time calendar. And that's why all things are beautiful where? Not in your time. If you don't time the timings of God, you will make mistake. You can do the right thing in the wrong time. It's still wrong. Timing is as important as knowing what to do. So you need to understand timing. So you can see God operates within the fragments of times and seasons. Okay? Can we say amen to that? Okay, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Look at seven trumpets. Verse 3. Seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having what? A golden censer. And there was given unto him much what? Incense. That he should offer it with what? Prayers. Of all saints. So look at that. Everybody say prayer of all saints. So there's prayer of all saints upon the altar, which was before the throne. So I call prayer of all saints as prayers of saints. All saints. Before this, you know, there are prayers that of saints that are saints that prayed prayer before we came on the scene. People like Paul have prayed. Peter, they have prayed. Jesus has prayed. So there's all prayer. There are some prayers that God just takes as a memorial before Him. Saints have prayed it. And God stores this up. Waiting for the season that they will use that prayer to move on the earth. So even God needs prayer to legitimize things on the earth. Can we say amen? Upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now look at verse 4. And smoke of the incense which came with prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of what? The angel's hand. So look at what they now did in verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire on the altar and cast it to the earth. There was prayer inside. So you can see that what they now did was that there is like they stored something up. And what did they now do? They now cast it into the earth. So it means they have answered the prayer. Some of it were stored. Some are stored, some are prayed at that season. God uses everything, load it in the censer, put fire, cast it on the earth. And there were what? Voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. These are not physical things. They are ripples effect in the realm of the spirit. This is God bringing things on the earth. An earthquake is a shift on the earth. So things don't shift on the earth until men what? Pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Men pray. Until men pray. So oftentimes God does that because God wants sufficient power to be released. Sufficient power. Okay, let's make progress. Are we getting understanding?
Yes, sir.
So James chapter 5, verse 15. Let's go back there. James 5, verse 15. So what secures prayer? Prayer power, the release of power is what I want us to see now. What secures the power generation of power in prayer is what I want us to see. Let's see it. Verse 17. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Verse 16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So there are three things I want us to see. And number one, effectual fervent. In the Greek, it's together. It is effectual fervent. Both are together. Effectual fervent. Number two, righteous man. Number three, availeth much. Let's look at this because we want to see what we want to secure our power generation in prayer. So when I'm praying, I want to secure that I'm generating power. I'm not praying to fulfill a righteous obligation that I'm praying. I'm not praying to be pleased with myself. I'm praying because what? There has to be sufficient release of power or life. Can we say amen? The effectual fervent prayer. So they are saying that if anything is effectual, it means it's fervent. And if it's fervent, it means it's effectual because it's together. In the Greek, they put it together. Okay? Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes power available or available much. Can we say amen? So the first word, effectual fervent, is from the Greek word called energio. That's where you get energy. Energio. Energio. It means to be operative, to be at work, or to, it means aid or to help someone. It means aid or help. It means power that is operative, power that is at work, power that can help or aid. Or energy. You know, we have that word, amen. Physics. We have physics teachers here. Energy is not what? Is it third law of motion? Or first, which one? Energy is neither created nor destroyed. But what? Converted to what? So you can see, you can see energy. Energy can be converted. So work on. In my house now, I convert solar energy to electrical energy. So energy can be converted. We can convert electrical energy to heat energy. So all these things, so can we say amen?
Amen?
So you can convert energy in prayer to walking. To walk in the spirit, yes. There's conversion. So energy is not created nor destroyed, but it's converted. So there's energy. What you generate in prayer is energy. Prayer energy. Yes, you generate energy in prayer. And I've told you, what the product of generating that energy is understanding. You need understanding to generate energy in prayer. Understanding is key to generate energy. But what you generate in prayer is energy, energio. And you need, is energy is power to do work. Am I right? Did I get the definition? Okay. It's ability to do work. Energy is ability to do work. So I can't do work without energy. So you cannot generate bear fruits without energy. Energy is the ability to do work. You cannot walk in the spirit without energy. Energy is the ability to do work. So energy there is power that is operative. To walk, to hate. So fervent prayers are effective by nature because they are like help or aid to do God's will in the case of growing up spiritually. So nobody, you will not have sufficient energy to grow because you see, your growth is against opposition. Yes. Your growth is against opposition. If you will grow, you are fighting. Things that are in you and are around you that are ordered or set for you not to grow. So when you are growing, it means you must generate enough power. You understand? Just like we understand that the law of lift is an energy against energy. Gravity is a kind of power. Now anything that goes up, what is coming down? No matter what you say, you are coming down. If you don't have a counter power. Laws are powers. If you don't have a counter power, you are coming down. Anything that goes up comes down. If you go up, there is a pull that pulls you down. So, growing up spiritually is a strange thing on the earth. It's abnormal to spirits. Because they have normalized that everybody is dust. They have legalized that people don't grow. They legalized that you can do religion, go to church, read Bible, you will not grow. Their problem is growth. Spirits, their problem is growth. They don't want you to grow up. They don't want your house to be built. They don't want you to be built. They don't want you to break covenant with the laws of sin and death. Break covenant with evil natures that have been with you since you grew up. And they are still there. They are even anointed. They are still there. They don't want you to change. So, what prayer does, prayer that is effective, must generate sufficient power. Why did Jesus pray at Gethsemane? Father, he needed strength to do the will. You need strength to do the will because you will be tempted to not do the will. How many of you have known the right thing to do? You not do it. Amen. God has told you that his brother Bryce, that is your husband. But he does not look comely. He does not fit your taste. Then you announce another brother Johnson that is taller. And I said, that is the will of God. No, God has told you that it's Brother Bright then, because you were confused because of your idols in the heart. Then when you now pray again, you now say, God now said it's Johnson again. Only run here. It's now, it's your idol that is talking to you. So you are now, anytime you have confusion, there's a problem. Anytime you are confused, it means that there's a conflict with the program of God and your flesh. That's when you say, I'm confused, I don't even know what to do. You will not know because you have idols. When you want to pray, don't like anything. Let your heart. When people that want to pray, they clear their heart. They want God to speak to them. Don't like anything. Don't like any location. That's when we hear America, America. You say my tongue. Say, Pastor, I don't know. I was just saying in my tongue, America. Oh, she's from Afghanistan. Morica. Why didn't you say Afghanistan? I don't hear people say their tongue says Sokoto. Sokoto. You will stop, sir, when you hear Sokoto. Who will go to Elisha? Who will go to Sokoto? Elton, it was in UK that they said Elisha. We can't doubt that one, sir. It must be God. A place that they did not know before. Tongue came and said, Elisha. No, you know that this one is the original one. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Amen? Glory to God. Amen. If you don't allow your prophecy to be judged, you are joking. Yes, sir. Satan mimics prophecy. Yes, sir. So you need to be wise. When you want to journey far, you need systems of safety around you. Yes, Satan mimics things. So how do you know that it's genuine? You can't be overly convinced. It's good. In a multitude of counsel, there's safety. You must be able to. That's why when one will prophesy, the other will what? Will judge. Can we say amen? Amen? I can't hear you say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we are seeing so energy must be released in sufficient measure for you to walk in the will of God. Okay, so energy is not created or destroyed but transformed. So you need prayer energy for you to walk in the Spirit. Okay. You need prayer energy to walk in the Spirit to grow. You also need prayer energy to change circumstances or condition that is around your life. External conditions. At times you need to pray to deal with things in your office. There's a negative atmosphere there. It's not going to go if you don't have sufficient power. At times you need to pray to you to deal with negative atmosphere over your business. You will not, if you can't, you don't just have sufficient. That's why, actually, if you are generating power to grow inside, you can now summon power. To now what? Push it out. It's like you are pushing something out. You cannot generate what is not coming. The way power is, power begins within and flows outside. The kingdom begins inside and flows outside. So the power that is growing you up is sufficient to change your circumstances. That is why power that grows you up is not ordinary power. It is a power that is mighty. Mighty power, Nisa. Power that can make somebody grow up spiritually, to have understanding, to bear fruits. That power can move mountains. That power, can we say amen? Can change circumstances. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when somebody is effectual in prayer or is effectually fervent, like I said, it's together. The person means the person is operating under open heavens consistently. Okay? And I've taught you last year. You can still revisit the teaching. I think we should just make it an e-book. Okay? So that people can have it, access it. You know, living under open heavens. I said that to maintain an open heavens, you need a connection between open scriptures and open understanding. So it is open scriptures, open understanding, open heavens. Can we all say that? You are not talking to me? So you can't operate under open heavens when the scripture is not opening. So it begins with opening. The scriptures was open. How does scripture open? Apart from your own personal time of study of scripture, you need to be receiving from apostles and prophets of the New Testament. Very important. Because they are revelationary gifts. Apostles, prophets, or ministries of the New Testament that can open scriptures. Then when you begin to receive, by the time you are going to read your own Bible too, scriptures will be opening. Because the just like in Zechariah's vision, the two anointed ones are the ones supplying oil to the lamps, to the seven lamps. Okay, so you need that consistently. So open scriptures. Then when the scriptures is open, understanding will be open. That's in Luke chapter 24. Jesus opened their understanding. But before Jesus opened the understanding, he began to what? Open the scriptures. So when you open the scriptures, you will eventually do what? Open what? Understanding. And without open understanding, you cannot pray. You do not have access in prayer. You need scriptures to be open. Now, you need to pray for also scriptures to be open. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That's why Paul was praying for the eyes of what? The understanding to be enlightened. It was a prayer. Even though that is a teaching, but it's also a prayer. Paul prayed for the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. So you also need prayer to open your understanding. So there is an endless or continuous loop between prayer and understanding. Prayer and understanding. Prayer and understanding. Understanding and prayer. If you are coming into understanding, it will show in how effective you are in the way you pray. It will affect or alter the way you commune with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus opened scriptures. Then he eventually opened your understanding. So once your understanding is open, then your heavens are open. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So you can come into, you know, clear flow of life and transactions in the spirit. Because you are living under constant open heavens. Okay? That's the first thing. So when you're talking about being fervent in prayer, I've dealt with the issue of power being released, understanding and all that. Another thing that you need to be fervent and effective in prayer is faith and love. Okay? Mark 11 verse 24. Our walk of faith and our walk of love. Walk of faith means that you believe God's word, not having fears. Walk of love is that you walk in forbearance and forgiveness. If you want to get your prayer generating power and you want it effective, you must walk in forbearance and forgiveness. There must be nobody that you have issue with on the earth. Yes. You must be nobody. You have to resolve that in your heart. You can't have any issues with anybody and you want audience with God. So you have to deal with that. It's called forgiving. Then you learn to forbear people. Because people will make mistakes. People will offend you. You must learn to forbear them and forgive them. Then you can have access in prayer. Now look at verse 24. Can we start from verse 22? Let's read down because it's within the same context. Okay. And Jesus answering them, have faith in God. So he began with faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be what? So it was in the context of faith, but it's also demonstrated in prayer. So, be thou removed and be cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and believe that those things that he said shall come to pass. He shall have what? Whatever what he said. Then look at it. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things ye desire, when ye pray. So Jesus dealt with the subject of faith in reference to prayer. Oh, you didn't get that. Even though we use this in the faith movement, powerful. But Jesus dealt with the subject of faith in reference. What was he referring to? Prayer. So you cannot have power in prayer without faith. So, and Jesus has taught us that faith, that you don't doubt in your heart. You believe whatever you say. Confession. By the mouth. Believing in your heart. Okay? Jesus was talking about the systems of faith. The systems of faith. The systems of faith. So, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, now, inside that desire is according to his will. If you desire your brother's wife, you will not get it. Or your brother's things. Desire. That desire is not desire anything. There is context in desire. If you desire what does not belong to you, you will not get it. So his desire according to his will. There's will in desire. Can you say amen? It's not just desire, it's just desire. No, desire things according to God's will. It's not, all of us don't have the same program in our life. I cannot desire what is not in the program of God for my life. I cannot desire to live where God has not said I should live. I cannot desire to do what God has not called me to do. Because my brother is doing it does not mean I will do it. If God has not called me, if it is not in God's book concerning the things I will do, I should not pray it in the first place. So praying what is not in the will of God for you is a waste of time. So you can see understanding the program of God. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book, Understanding What? God's plan for your life, rather. Following God's plan for your life. Following God's plan for your life is a very basic spiritual understanding. That will help you. It will keep you from many, many things. It will keep you from distraction. So, look at it. So, believe that you have them. You can see, and you shall have them. So, faith. Okay? So, you cannot have effectual prayer without faith. Faith in God's word. Then, look at the next thing. And when you stand praying, forgive. That's love. When you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any. Give me a recent translation for this. Okay, look at that. So, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone. This one now, they didn't say if anything, anybody has anything against you. If you have anything against anyone. So, you say, you know, we don't obey this scripture. Forgive him. Before you even start praying, shabalabalabala, forgive that person. Drop it. Thank you. Drop the issue. Let it go. As well, you take it back. It means you didn't drop it. If you take it back after prayer, you didn't drop it. And that will limit your prayer. You know, I've told you, like, the way they told men in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says that men should deal with their wives in knowledge. The end of dealing with your wife with knowledge is that your prayers will not be what? In that. Amen. So for many men, it's their wife that is stopping their prayer. Their wife is stopping their prayer. Their prayer is not ascending. So you can see. Maybe you didn't treat your wife as so she's angry with you. And Satan is pitching a case against you in the court of heaven. And God, you are a good God. And you are a God of justice. You cannot allow this thing to go without judging it. This man is not treating his wife well. So, I'm saying Satan will prosecute you. I'm saying that he doesn't need to be blessed. In fact, he needs to suffer so that we have repentance. That's Satan. No? It's not like he wants him to repent. Satan will persecute you before God. So, Jesus comes in as a mediator and asks God for mercy. And when Jesus asks God for mercy, they will still come and deal with the issue in your life. So you can see the reason of many, many closed heavens. It's the same principle. You can take it to relationships. If you don't discern relationships, well, if you have issues with your brethren, your heavens will be closed. Much more with your pastor. You can't even try that one. What if it's wrong? You better know how to resolve that. Because the reason is that Satan will still the same Satan. It's not about the pastor. No. Satan will accuse you. Before God, how can you be doing this? Say, God, you can't bless this person. He's fighting against the dignity in the spirit. That's how Satan will put it. Satan knows Bible. He twists it against you. So there is no way you can prosper in your work with God as a believer if you don't know how to forgive. It's a skill you must learn. You don't know how to forbear. You don't know how to forgive. You can't journey too far. Because people will hurt you. People will betray you. People will say terrible things about you that are not true. People will say lies. How many lies do you want to explain? You don't have time to be explaining lies, answering lies. You need to continue with your work with God. Later on, it will resolve. Can you say amen? So you can see. Take me back to Matthew 25. Oh, no, stand there, huh? Let's stay here, please. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything is anything, against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue, let it go. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. Okay? So without this, you won't have access. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So two things. Faith and love. You believe in God's word, that God can do what he has said, and then you walk in love and forgiveness. We'll continue next week. Can we begin to pray? Let's begin. Stand to your feet and let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Can we begin to thank the Lord first for granting us grace this morning to look into this core issue of our faith? Lift up your hands and begin to appreciate the Lord. Begin to appreciate the Lord.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.